This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Happy Wednesday night, everyone. So happy that you're joining us. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. It is a stunningly gorgeous evening in Chicago, and I choose to disregard whatever Don Kleppen said in regards to Friday. Blah, 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 la, 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 la. I refuse to hear that it's dropping below 60 anytime soon, sir. That is not acceptable.
Saying it. I don't like saying it. I almost choke on it every time.
I know. That's okay. You just sell it, and we'll just act like it's exciting. And 55 degrees on
Friday.
Then I
just feel like such a jerk, you know? It's really not cool.
Imagine, like, here, can you deliver it this way? Like, imagine it's the middle of January and you're telling us that it's 55 degrees.
Oh, nice.
And that's the way we should receive it. That's good.
It's going to be 55. You believe that?
Hey.
It's going to be 50 freaking five.
Yeah, 55. Put some personality in it, Don.
Yeah, just remember those weeks in January when it was 57 degrees below zero.
Brutal.
Just saying. So this is a 100 degree difference on Friday.
Perspective.
I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying. We don't blame you, Don Kleppen.
This is great news.
This is incredible news. 50. You guys, it's going to be 55 degrees on Friday. Can you believe it?
Believe it.
It's so exciting. I just can't it's handle good. It. It's so cute. What is happening? Joining us in the studio, my very good friend and regular contributor to the show, Dr. Charles J. Turk. And one of the reasons that I'm just sort of languishing over the degrees of change between now and Friday, which is only 20 degrees, Don, really. 24 degrees, maybe 25. We ate outside tonight. That was my first time in Chicago this year eating out. I mean, I could have eaten outside anytime I wanted to, but this was the one time I wanted to.
Yeah, but would you have been comfortable, Patty?
Well, I could be comfortable. I mean, depending on how many blankets I have.
And Don, did you mention rain? Is there rain going out
Let's
tomorrow?
Let's not. Oh, he's left the desk. He doesn't want to be asked any more about the weather. Don, it is not his responsibility.
About to lunch.
Yeah. He's like, oh, look at the time. I have news to prepare. Vivian Leneu, producing
hello,
the
hello,
show.
Hello,
you two had an exciting exchange because you came over to help us with some equipment over here.
And, oui, oui, oui.
And you two broke out in a French over here. I'm like, oh, good deal.
There's no, I'm not breaking out my French on the air. I'm
not
sorry.
On the air.
It's for.
Come on,
it's
Charles.
It's for private time. That's all.
It's for. wait a minute. I feel like that's what she said sort of a situation. It's private time. I only speak English fluently. I speak Spanish sparingly, and that's it. That's all. I mean, I think I learned how to count to 10 in Korean because I took Taekwondo years
Ooh.
Ago. But I can't remember how to do those numbers anymore.
Oh,
they made us count in Korean. Yes.
I think I remember how to count in French till 10, I believe. I think I remember. Charles, want to take it away?
I may be able to go a little bit above 20, but...
Oh, that's... Oh, okay.
Oh, listen, the listeners are not interested in this, you know, this friendly banter, you know. There's no way. No, I mean... No.
Well, I wish I spoke Spanish more fluently. It is a part of my family's history, my ancestry, the person that lives in my house. My mother is from Mexico. But now you speak Greek fluently.
Yeah, I do.
But were you raised in a household?
Yeah.
With Greek? I mean, everyone spoke Greek?
Everyone, and they all still do. So.
Oh, well,
I speak it every single day.
Were there other languages in your household, Charles?
Unless you count talking to the dogs and
what language were we using with the dogs?
I think that was English too, come to think of it. Yeah.
Just in a higher pitch.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, it was sort of baby talk.
What did you bring in from the yard? What dead animal do you have in your mouth? What is going on? Why are you licking your butt? Look at you licking your butt. What kind of conversation?
Patty, it's scary how much you have an insight into exactly what we ask them.
Although dogs don't necessarily bring in dead animals as much as cats do. Cats seem very proud when they bring in a dead mouse or a bird.
My dog was very proud.
Oh, really? Your dog did this?
Oh, yeah.
You too, Charles?
Some dogs will. It's a question of whether or not they're clumsy and whether or not they're actually coordinated enough to be able to go and kill that animal.
Fair enough.
I mean, we had one that was a real hunter, and she would sneak silently up and then spring at the very very last minute on birds and, you know, and small feral prey.
Well, good golly. Oh, that's not good.
No, I know. But the other dogs would just, you know, they'd be running from a mile away and, you know, and anything that they were running at would have plenty of notice.
It's funny because female dogs tend to be more of the hunters, I think.
That was certainly ours. Yes. She was female.
Because my female dog, Melina, she was the hunter of the family for sure. She would go out there and just snatch a rabbit. I felt so bad every time.
She's like, I shall hunt and I shall gather.
And you but shall mostly hunt.
And you shall appreciate it.
Exactly. Oh, man. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio. Remember, you can join the conversation anytime if you want to. You know, sometimes it seems like I'm just talking nonsense, but really, everything is nonsense when you come down to it. 312-981-7200 again to join our conversation. You can call or text that number. Before we go to the break, and I just mentioned that you could text, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. There's been some conversation in our conference calls with WGN staff, with all the honor talent and producers. I know Vivian, because we have rotating producers on this show, I don't know. I feel like I should report to you as well what goes on.
Yeah.
And there's conversation about not using the text screen anymore.
Hmm.
What?
Patty, that's scandalous.
I know. There was some speculation as to whether or not we could change from the service we are currently using, because we get, you know, we have a service where we get your texts in real time, and sometimes it breaks up your text, or maybe that's the way your cell phone works. But I'm not sure if it's a function of the hosts being distracted or of their, you know, their. The volume of text is more significant during the day, and the text screen is intended to continue the conversation.
Right.
But texters use it as a platform to be critical or abusive. So mm-hmm. I just want the people who are kind and nice to know, or participating, to know that I'm trying to not punish you for what others are doing. Mine are fewer and far, like, because I don't know if people just go, oh, she has my number. Yeah, we have your number. I haven't done anything with it in years, but I don't know if, like, people, like, I have that tone in my voice where, like, I will call you, I will find you, I have special skills.
Patty, I think you're just bragging that you can text and broadcast at the same time.
Well, to be fair, I used to have the ability to someone would edit them for me so that we wouldn't get, like, the nasty, you know,
yeah.
stop talking about the special needs kid because they're annoying thing. That's the one that if people really want to, you know which ones jump out at me, like calling me the C word, telling me to crawl into a hole and die.
Oh,
sure,
my God.
I remember those.
Patty, what?
Nobody with a soul who's getting into heaven would write those kinds of things.
You know what? I will send you a screenshot and one day I'll post it. But the reason I don't discuss, there's a very simple reason why I don't bring them up anymore. I mentioned one on an evening, and the next day, because my mother listens to the podcast, she was so upset
yeah.
because I had talked about it on the air. And I thought, it's not just my mom. It's people who have a heart that are listening to our conversations and think, well, why would anyone be that? I don't need to show you all how many horrible individuals exist.
It's funny. Yeah. You'd think that some people would think that this is a platform that's anonymous, like, like Twitter. You know.
I can find you there, too. More after this on 720 WGN.
Beginning sign of the end of the world. Another high school, this one in Ohio, has just announced they're not going to do valedictorians anymore because it's too competitive. And other kids might feel better.
That's the whole point, though, is to compete and try to do well during the school year to get to that level.
And to understand that when you go out in the world is competitive. It's stupid. By the way, if you're canceling academic competition in this way, then cancel all the sports.
Right.
Imagine if high school football suddenly went, hey, it's not fair. You scored a touchdown, they get score touchdown now. I mean, come on.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
My husband looked them up online and he said, try this place. I said, okay, because they were close, because we live in the same town. I texted them pictures of the damage and then we set up an appointment for them to contact me when they could schedule me. And it was just as easy as that.
We are talking today with mega customer Michelle Kelly of Algonquin.
You know, I called on a Thursday and my work was done by Tuesday. It only took about 15 minutes. I just heard them setting up the ladder, and then I heard them taking down the ladder. And I went out and I looked at the work and it looked good. If you were just somebody looking at my house, you wouldn't know that it was a repair or anything. My experience was really good.
One mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
Mega. Megapros.com.
One mega call does it all.
Attention investors, not earning 18 to 21%? Then you're losing. Big time. National Realty's Class A Property Fund includes only prime income producing property, built far below market value. You're secured, you're recession proof with large apartment buildings. You're diversified with income streams from multiple buildings. You have 100% of free cash flows paid to you first. This portfolio has $600 million in new construction equity value in Brooklyn, Hoboken, the Jersey, Gold Coast, and Delray Beach, Florida. National's 12-year track record of proven success with $800 million of property under management is based on prime income property only. Stop recession risk and stock market churn with diversified 18 to 21% returns for IRAs or cash flow. Once you see these Class A locations, you'll wonder what took you so long to call. Call 201-210-2727. That's 201-210-2727. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first and invest wisely. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. National is a real estate development firm. See us at NRIA.net.
Honey, what are we going to do with your grandparents' old coins and jewelry?
I'm pretty sure they're worth some money.
You've been saying that for years.
Okay, how about PGS Gold and Coin? They're the best when it comes to selling family valuables.
And you know this because...
PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Do that again.
PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Isn't that the place Jeff sold his grandmother's jewelry when she passed?
Yep. He checked out PGSGoldAndCoin.com and found tons of positive reviews. He was blown away by how much he got. Do you? Oh, you're already on the site.
Almost. PGSGoldAndCoin.com.
PGS Gold and Coin, the upscale way of selling your coins, jewelry, diamonds, and collectibles. Family owned and operated for over 10 years. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau with 3 Chicagoland locations. And they make house calls. PGSGoldAndCoin.com or 888-416-2701. That's PGSGoldAndCoin.com or 888-416-2701.
PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. I'm live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining me in studio is Dr. Charles J. Turk. He's our pharmacist expert. And on the line with us, representing the Rootin' Tootin' 12th District, is Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, who does a lot of great work down in Springfield. And when President Trump won his election in 2000, when was that now? Rep, was it 2016? It's all a blur now. It's all. One of the most interesting elements to me not long after the election was how quickly you and a lot of legislators and people in the community came together to make sure that were there to be a threat to Roe v. Wade, there was legislation in place to protect the state of Illinois, the women here who want to really have control over their reproductive rights. You made sure that we would not go back to the dark ages. And it seems as though other states have used this time as an opportunity to really, for a lot of people, this was the end game. This is what they wanted, were bills as those that have passed in Georgia, Alabama, amongst others. What are your thoughts when you see states like Alabama pass the heartbeat bill?
Well, I have a different name for the Alabama bill. I call it the Life Begins at Rape bill, because there's no exception for rape and incest in it. It has it's illegal to go out of state and have an abortion. I mean, it's just I've never quite seen a piece of legislation like this. And, you know, I think that there are about 20 cases in the pipeline. You know, make no mistake, Patty, that this is designed to go to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And this is the bill, I think, after, you know, what I've learned about it, that, you know, because of the positioning of the state, the circuit, et cetera, and the way this bill was drafted, that this is the bill they're hoping will go, will beeline to the Supreme Court. You know, so, you know, you know, for all the people in our country who say, oh, Roe v. Wade, no one's ever going to overturn it. And you see this erosion, inch by inch, bill by bill, law by law, Ohio, Georgia, Alabama. And, you know, this is that moment. This is that bill. It was signed by the governor today. You're going to start to see a lot of lawsuits filed, and it go up the process through the court. And as you know, there are many courts that have Donald Trump appointees, and we all know that Donald Trump is anti-choice, and all of his picks are. So I would say, you know, we really have to act here in Illinois. You know, when we passed House Bill 40, it was an essential first step because of the trigger language, right?
Right.
The first thing we had to do is repeal that provision, but it was only a single provision out of the Illinois abortion law of 1975. There are other restrictive pieces of the Abortion Act that are what we call, the legal term is enjoined. It means that when pieces of it passed in Illinois by anti-choice legislators in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, the ACLU went in and went to court, and they became enjoined, but they are still actually in statute. And they were enjoined because they violated Roe versus Wade.
Right.
If Roe versus Wade is overturned, all of the enjoined provisions will stand.
Meaning that in the states where they have it, you know, the language specifies that should the Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade, abortion becomes automatically illegal in those states that have not protected it.
Oh, yes.
Including many forms of birth control.
You know, well, see, so what I think what I'm saying about our state specifically is
right.
that if you read the Abortion Act, we did remove trigger, but there are other provisions in it. There are, like, spousal consent provisions. There is, you know, there are some elements of birth control, infertility treatment, diagnostic testing that are subject to being overturned if Roe is overturned.
Right.
Because they're stayed, they're enjoined. So, you know, first of all, what most listeners don't understand is that a lot of our Abortion Act in Illinois is in the criminal code. I mean, I'm not sure people really understand that this is where we are. The Abortion Act is embedded. Okay, so there are some forms of birth control and abortion restrictions. There are some trap laws that, if fully enforced, would really require many of our clinics in Illinois to close. So we have a Reproductive Health Act that's pending. It hasn't moved out of the out of committee. I'm not sure why I'm not on that committee. But, you know, I believe that what happened last night with Alabama, which I'm sure you read while you were on. Were you on last night, Patty?
I was.
It just was surreal.
Well, the idea that a doctor could be prosecuted, and by the way, you know, there are places where women can be investigated if they have a miscarriage. They can be investigated for homicide because they could be questioned about illegally performing an abortion on themselves if they haven't gone to a doctor, even if it was just something. I mean, because what is it? One in three women have a miscarriage, and now they have to answer for that on top of the sorrow, the tragic loss of, you know, what their future was. And I know that people can throw this in and go, well, if you don't care about an aborted baby, why do you care about a miscarriage baby? I understand that everyone has their sort of mental litmus test as to what's moral, what's moral and what's not. But in an individual case, you know, we can't impose that on people.
Honestly, what I wonder too is that there have been cases, you know, cases of pharmacies that have been, you know, either been subject to a complaint in the court of public opinion or taken to court where a woman is carrying a stillborn child and then they take an abortificent, you know, or at least they're prescribed one and then they have difficulty getting it at the pharmacy. And I also wonder what this bill, you know, has to say about that.
Yeah, it depends on the state, right, Sarah? Rep.
Yes. Yes. You know, I also think that, you know, one of the things that we could talk about maybe a little bit down the road, I'm happy to come in, is kind of the winding, how all of these lawsuits that have happened in other states around TRAP and the decisions in the circuits have fallen to show you that there are like 14 active judges in the Seventh Circuit that were Trump appointees that are like Barrett, Brennan, Scudder, St. Eve, and other judges, long list of names, who have sort of written in hostile decisions to abortion and contraceptive access and rights, and that only four of the judges on the Seventh Circuit had been consistent with Roe and abortion rights. So we're really at the precipice here with some of these laws, which is why I say what happened in Alabama was all by design to, you know, kind of kick it up to the Supreme Court and to try and overturn Roe. So, you know, when you strike a law in a state like we did with the trigger provision, you keep yourself out of court. You see that there was a former representative who represents the Thomas More Society. Mm-hmm. As soon as House Bill 40 became law, he ran to court to try and overturn it. But the strength of, you know, I didn't comb through the decision, and I'm not a lawyer, but when you strike a provision, it's a clear, it's a law. It doesn't, you know, it's basically been wiped out. And this attorney came in to try and talk about an unfunded mandate that we've asked the state government to do something that it, you know, that it doesn't have money for. It was grasping at straws. Everybody knew that it was just not going to work. But other provisions, if Roe is overturned, would really keep Illinois women in jeopardy and danger. And doctors, you know, would really not be clear. We wouldn't have an opportunity to clarify the law for physicians and what they're able to do. You know, so this is all a long, protracted plot, like trap laws, as you know. You know, trap laws are, you know, you need to have a hospital within 30 miles or other restrictions.
Right, doorways that are a certain, that are a certain width and things like that. We have to take a quick break here. We're talking to Representative Sarah Feigenholtz from the Fightin' 12th District. We want to talk a little bit about expanding medical marijuana to the point where it's just recreational marijuana. More after this on 720 WGN. All right, since we pulled back the curtain on the show, and so far we've talked about the interoffice conference calls. I don't know how I'm supposed to talk about those things on the air, but there it is, and the title of the show and how it's changed. I also want to address, and maybe we send this audio to the morning show, there is an abundance of crumbs on the ground by the host seat over here. I don't have access to a vacuum cleaner or any kind of cleanup equipment, so I would like it to be noted for the record, and if anyone could text into the Cochran show, should he arrive, or anybody else on the show make comment of how messy it is back here. I've been on the live stream for the last hour and a half. You can see that I haven't eaten a single thing that would be crumbly or make this kind of mess. Just want to put that out there for everybody.
And on pains of perjury, I will attest. That,
thank you.
Yes.
Dwayne, do you want to come on? I'm sending a picture to Steve Cochran tonight.
This was a mess you inherited.
Yes.
What you just said made me think about false success in a capitalist society, an abundance of crumbs. You think you're rich, but you just got an abundance of crumbs.
That's how we are in America. We have an abundance of crumbs.
Yeah.
Should I name that? We should write a book called An Abundance of
or
Crumbs.
Or a band.
Oh, that's good, too. I like that. What do you play? You play anything?
Ham bone.
I have no sense of rhythm or music. I mean, I can dance a little bit. That's all I got. So it doesn't help with
you
the
can sing a little bit,
right? If you can dance a little bit, that's just the backdoor way of saying I can't dance.
I can't dance, but I commit.
Yeah,
I dance badly with enthusiasm.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's how you sell anything. If you're enthusiastic about it,
I'm a good dancer in my seat.
Yes, are you? You good chair dancer?
Like when you say that brother's got a lot of promise.
But you don't get up to.
No, I don't get up.
No. Just let him believe.
Yeah, I bet he could do some things.
Dwayne, we have a show tomorrow night. I know you know that already. I'm not telling you to like remind you.
No, I'm glad you told me.
We are going to be at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln Avenue with Rocky Laporte. Yeah. Yes, Charles.
Well, it's just that, I mean, on air, this is the first time you've mentioned it to Dwayne, but it's the second time if you include off-air mentions, and I notice that you're reminding Dwayne a lot. I'm wondering if you're worried.
No, I'm worried about myself. Sometimes I say things out loud.
Believe me, Charles, I appreciate it. Every time people remind me of things, I appreciate it. I like when I do a show and people remind me of my act. Do you do that one bit? I will tonight. What other bits do I do?
From the audience, you got people. Yeah,
I take requests.
There are comedians that we go down a rabbit hole with watching their clips, and we've been sharing a lot of yours with our with my son Griffin. And you're like, how far back does this go? I mean, you know, like Jesus' brother and the smart bomb knocking on the door.
Oh,
And maybe the you know, the play the
okay, I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Is Griffin gonna be there? Can he remind me of what else I do?
I used to do this with Fred Klett, another one of my favorite comedians, and Fred would forget entire chunks of material. Mm-hmm. And we would be like, oh, remember that one time when you would talk about maybe you have a particularly fast cow. I mean, I can't do people's material, but I could, like Tim Clue. Like,
all right.
Yeah, I could do a lot of those things.
Yeah, of course. Okay, now that's funny you should say that, because I think, people, but comedians, if you think something is funny or it's striking, you remember people's bits, right?
Yes.
And that this goes back to, I'm not using this as an opportunity to slam anybody, but you know, there was a famous person, I'm not even going to mention his name, I don't want to disparage him and, you know, defame me, anyway. But he was known to do people's material.
Right.
And the justification, people who supported him was, well, it just sinks into his subconscious and he doesn't know that he's drawn. Every comedian knows other comedians' bits.
Yeah.
You know, right?
You when you're on stage and you're doing somebody else's joke, because a big part of what we do is authenticity.
Yes.
That's that for a good comic, the ones that I've always enjoyed are the ones that you know it's coming from them.
Yeah.
And they know it's coming from them.
Yeah. And not to say, because people are, you know, not perfect, and sometimes you can do something, oh man, that was so and so, a word or a bit or an idea, and or sometimes parallel thinking, whatever. But this person particular, there's a few people that they were just, you know, verbatim.
Do you remember John Fox? You know John Fox.
I knew of him, and I met him once. Yeah. I knew him a little bit.
Well, he had an opening bit that I was in Cleveland at the Improv, and I saw another comic doing the exact same opening bit. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty specific bit. I can't do it because it's so, his language was a little aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be pretty canceled with Patty Baskin.
But it's about two firemen in a smoke-filled room. Okay. Have you ever heard the opening? And so I heard another comic doing it word for word. Uh-huh. And so in my mind, I thought, well, maybe John has been doing this stock joke as an opening joke. So I talked to John a few years later, and he was like, no, I wrote that entire thing. And then he wanted to know who stole it. And I was like, no. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, why did I even bring that up anyway?
Well, no, because, well, it's been in the news. Conan O'Brien just had a settlement for material he was accused of using on a show that was somebody else's.
Oh, really?
And I think that, you know, there is this, there's a conversation going on about, and you mentioned parallel thinking. Mm-hmm. I remember when more states were passing legislation to, you know, for gay marriage to be, you know, acceptable or, you know, codified mm-hmm. in different states. Someone was talking about how now you can't smoke anywhere. So how bad is it to be a gay smoker? Finally, you get out of the closet, but now you got to go back in because you smoke.
Right.
But I saw within weeks like about four different comics do the exact same premise. But I was house emceeing, so I knew that none of them had crossed paths.
Right.
And that was I knew it was parallel thinking. Let me take a break here. We'll talk more when we come back. Judy Gold and comedian Paul Farber are joining us in just a little bit more on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios, now it's the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we've been hanging out with Dwayne Kennedy and Charles Turkin. Now joining us, hot off the stage from Zanies on Wells, Judy Gold's in the studio. I didn't realize I was going to dork out until she walked in. Hi.
Oh, I'm hot off the stage.
Sizzling. How was a 9:15 show at the Zanies on Wells?
What is that?
It's not that common. It's just for you. They carved
now,
out.
Now, Paul thinks that
it might have been a double booking.
Because first of all, and if you're going to double book,
you
like,
and Josh
put
Blue?
The old lady on first, and then put the millennial on second.
Is Josh Blue a millennial?
I don't know, but he's younger than me.
He's not. Well, he's not even on the postcard. You are. So I don't even know.
As you know,
I'm just saying.
No, but yeah. So it was 9:15, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the experience.
Yeah,
it's always good when it's the first nice evening, mm-hmm. too. As Paul
beautiful
was saying,
beautiful out, yes.
And people really want to go in a comedy club, you know.
Well, it's better if it's later because then they're going to wait until the sun's down.
You know,
down.
Paul's so positive.
I'm a positive person.
He is so
Judy,
positive.
You're not wrong. On a Wednesday night in Chicago, 9:15.
First of all, why do we even have to do a show tonight? I could have slept.
You just got here.
I know.
You just got
it's
in.
It's always weird. You know that first show when you fly in? Like, it would be much better if you flew in the day before, had a day, got prepped, you know, like acclimated. But then you don't want to leave your house. So it's like the first show is always like, oh, my God, I'm so tired.
Do you now, Dwayne and Paul, now Charles, I know that you do a lot of work. We have to travel to California, to Boston, seminars and things like that. Do you guys, so I'll.
Whoever
wait,
wants why to, does he have to do seminars?
He's a continuing education for medical professionals expert.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't do stage. Well, actually, I do stage comedy, just not stand-up.
Wait, you do continue? You teach one of the classes?
Well, okay, I do teaching, but my company does continuing education for healthcare professionals.
Yep. So you're not the you set up the.
Yeah,
because they have to keep affiliate. They have to keep a certain amount of credits
my
and stuff.
Yeah, my company does that. I don't do the work myself. You know, I hire
like,
other people.
Like, do people come
the
up
work.
To you after they find out you do that and are like, "Oh my God, what's this on my face?"
Not
he's
yet.
A pharmacist.
Well, they, yeah.
Oh
it was
yeah,
more so when I was
baby.
Behind the counter. Yeah. No.
Can we go over my antidepressants?
We could have a discussion.
Or unless we, you know,
no.
Feel like I'm monopolizing. Okay, so right now I'm on the Paxil. As they call it Paxon because you gain so much weight.
Oh no!
So I got off it and I wanted to kill myself. So I had to go back on. I was like fat or miserable. So I was like, all right, fat. So I'm on Paxil and then I'm on Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
So I can enjoy intimacy because the Paxil takes
say, off. It'll pick you up.
It's the worst Paxil. It's like okay, here it is.
Oh my
okay,
God.
It's coming. Okay. All right. Forget it. That's exactly sex on Paxil. Okay.
Was Paxil the first one that you were on?
No. Oh my God. Okay. I've been on every one of them.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense, though.
Yeah. I tried them all.
Okay. Look,
all
Charles right. wants to know the history. He's like, now, what did you start out here? Or what was the dosage?
And then what else do I do? I do that. I have the thyroid medication. I'm like such an old Jew. I have the thyroid medication. And then I take the antidepressants. I take vitamin B and vitamin D. I take biotin for the hair and nails. And, I take the trazodone to sleep. Oh, I take Deplin. Do you know what that is?
What's Deplin?
No, I don't.
I got him.
Cool drug.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Charles is going to Google that and find out.
Deplin.
What category?
Well,
what
classification?
It's a folic acid, I think. But
oh, okay.
It's a very
right,
high.
Yeah. If it's vitamins. Yeah. No, I'm. They're all
no, but it's a prescription strength.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, yeah,
it's supposed to make
different.
The antidepressants work better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming. Here it's coming. It is. Here it
forget it. Are we there?
Yeah.
Are we there yet? Have
it's
we arrived?
It's that you it, keep it hoping. The There's some optimism. You keep hoping it's going to happen, and then you're just like, all right.
While we were in the news, we were all discussing Dwayne's romantic life, and then Paul got excited because he wanted to know if he could have you on the podcast. Now, Dwayne, when you travel, do you get in a day early, like Judy was talking about, or do you prefer to get in the day of, or does it depend on?
It depends on where I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if he's going to Europe, he's not going to.
Yeah, you want to get there a couple weeks early. Do a few things.
You see the sights.
Yeah. But if you're going to, say, Chicago? Saginaw,
oh.
You probably want to get there after the shows have started.
I did
I
Bubba's.
Like the Saginaw.
I did
Where's
Bubba's
Saginaw?
Michigan. I did Bubba's Roadside Inn in Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah.
And the sound booth guy had chicken wire around his booth.
Yeah.
And that should have been just like in Blues Brothers around
Are
the stage.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So you couldn't go near him?
You couldn't go near him, but there was that audience was rowdy.
So the audience can't get at you.
Exactly.
I'd
oh,
like
it's
to
like
get
the
at
Orthodox
you.
Shoes with the women, you know?
Yeah.
Can't get at them.
Yeah. Let's put the chicken wire up and they can't come in here.
I had a set there one night and someone kept yelling, "Who cares?" through my whole set.
Oh boy.
Are there nights that you just remember and it's never
oh,
the good nights?
Oh my God. Horrible. Where I'm like, "What? You just are like, what am I doing this for?" What am I doing? Do you ever those nights like one night you'll do like 2 hours and you're like, "Wow, that was great." And then the next night the audience is so bad that 2 hours will take 20 minutes to
oh,
get
yeah.
through.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the worst. Absolutely. And you're like, oh my God, I got to stand up. I count the time down. I'm like, okay, 15 more minutes, 14 more minutes.
Any minute now.
I know. Check. Where's my check?
Yeah.
It's the only profession where people come to try to screw you up. While you're doing it. It's like when you're a pharmacist, like they're not like 17, 18, 19. Oh, you put too many pills in. You know, like that's what they.
You'd be surprised.
You know?
No, hurry up. You know, where are my meds?
Right. They don't come to you hoping
right, that you're going to, I'm going to screw you up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know.
You better get it right tonight.
It may not be everybody, but there are some people who are, you know, who are out there to sue you.
Yeah, but they're not.
That's
okay,
true.
It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard. Here no, comes but lawyer me, Paul.
I was going to say.
Yeah, Paul.
That is true.
I'm just here to defend anyone that needs help here.
Yeah. Rocky Laporte was on last night and he was talking about.
Oh, I love Rocky.
He and Dwayne and I will be at the Greenhouse Theater tomorrow night. Sorry.
Where's the Greenhouse Theater?
It's right by his house, but you're leaving town.
Yeah, I'm leaving town.
It's
on Lincoln Avenue, Lincoln Park.
You know what?
I'll pick you up.
It's very humid in there, I heard.
It's
at
a little,
greenhouse.
Little steamy. Yeah. Got to make things grow.
And there's a lot of plantage and.
Not accurate.
Horticulture. No. All
right. From the 708, the drugs are trial and error, but they don't give you a refund for the ones that don't work. I don't know how you...
I think it's related to comedy shows.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But what Rocky was saying last night is that people will come... They feel the need to come up to you, and they have no problem insulting you if they don't feel like, well, you know, you were funny, but I like the other guy better.
Oh, or this one. But when you're done, and they're like, well, I thought you were funny. And I'm like... Get away from me. Like, people say things to comics that they would never say to anyone else.
Exactly.
And when they tell you a joke, oh my God.
I want to do a show. I created this idea for a show.
Ooh,
of all of people's ideas.
Just audience
and just
jokes?
Be like, this is, you asked for it. And it's like, just everyone has to do jokes that people have told you to do. Like, you can use that in your skit. And then we just do it. And then be like, this is what you asked for.
I remember one time. Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
No, it's all right.
No, I was finishing a show at Zany's in St. Charles, and someone came up to me and they're like, "Oh, have you heard this joke?" And they started telling me a whole George Carlin bit, and I was like, "I can't. What are you doing right now? I can't."
Or they're like, street "You know, my wife could give you so much material." She comes up to me the other day. I said, "I'm going out to the car." She's like, "Oh, you're going to the car?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the car. You could use that. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, leave me alone."
I'm working at it myself. The worst was when I had a gynecologist who said, she popped up between my knees. She goes, "Oh, the stories I could tell you." No. Don't need those stories.
I love when they're... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I love when... Well, you guys don't understand this. They have, you know, they put the speculum in.
Mm-hmm.
They open it up. And then they're like, "This will hurt a little bit. How are the kids?" I'm like, "No! No,
it's not distracting.
Now.
Yeah, it's not distracting.
You might feel a little cramping."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, when are they graduating?" No!
We're going to take a break here. More after this. Contemplate that. By the way, I'm always like, is that a shoehorn when I'm in the stirrups? More.
Oh, yeah, the worst. Tomorrow.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, host of Everyone's a Lawyer at the Laugh Factory and the podcast Singles Only, available wherever you listen to your podcast. Dwayne Kennedy, comedian Dwayne Kennedy, who is a writer and producer for Kamau Bell's show. I always forget the name, and I'm so sorry. What an unprofessional thing for me to do on the air. I just say Kamau Bell's show.
Mm-hmm. United Shades of America.
United Shades.
It used to be called something else, too, right?
No, it was... totally biased. That was his other show.
That was on FX.
That was his first TV show, and then he's got another TV show, and then, you know, the brother's got a couple.
I was just
TV
trying
shows
to help you, Pat.
No, this is all good. Judy Gold in studio with us. She's performing at the Zany's on Wells. And
I know.
We were talking before the break. Charles and I were talking to Dwayne about remembering other comics bits, and I was on the phone with my husband when he got all excited that you were going to be on the show, Judy. He listens to Stephanie Miller, and he's heard you on that show, but I was like, "Oh my god, no." Because before I started doing comedy, it's the Judy Gold
Show. It's Judy's show. People still come up to me. I'm like, you know, and I knew I would regret it at some point. It's Judy's show.
So yeah. I'm sure someone has said this to you before, and I'm sure maybe it was years ago, but whenever I put on a pair of tights or pantyhose, I still think of you as well.
I decided, I don't know when it was, I don't care. No one is ever making me wear pantyhose again.
Well, and a lot of people don't. I mean,
it's so disgusting.
Well, when I do, women make fun of me.
Yeah, you can't wear pantyhose.
No. It's impossible.
No, it's horrible. That's like wearing shoulder pads. No, you cannot.
All right, I won't do it anymore.
You can't wear shoulder pads anymore?
No.
My girlfriend will sometimes... I'm like, "What are you doing? Your legs are black. Like, why do you have..." No.
She wears nude pantyhose?
No, she wears black.
She wears black tights.
Nude is not good. I have always said, what is nude? People are different shades.
Exactly.
Right. You can't say something is nude. Right.
Or flesh-colored.
Yeah, right.
Flesh-colored exactly. Crayons. What is that? I never understood that. I was like, that's not what color I am. Right.
It's called white men.
Yeah. Right. They should call this crayon patriarchy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
AKA Peach.
Yeah.
Yeah, peach is fine. I mean, they made peach flesh colored, but nobody's that color of flesh.
No.
I know. Isn't that horrible?
Arkansas.
I used to do a joke about that in like the 80s.
I
decided what flesh colored pantyhose was. Nude pantyhose was.
How do you like that club on? Because that club on Wells is it's still strange. No matter how long you've been doing comedy,
you know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's this long.
I wanted to do it because I usually do Rose. Is it Rosemont?
Yes.
And I just couldn't with the hotel. It's like it's right on
the entertainment district there, right?
No, it was right on, like it was on the highway. And it, can I say what hotel it was? It was the hotel where the woman went in the freezer and killed and died.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the freezer in.
Yeah.
She talked about it on stage when she did that Rosemont.
Yeah, I did. I mean, who dies in a freezer? That's
Well, we never found out what the was it that she'd gotten too drunk and wandered into the freezer and
Yeah.
Horrible.
It was. Yeah. Well, that's also that.
I hope she like was sleeping. See
that,
or something.
And that's the thing is you weren't at the hotel where they had the furry conference or convention. They had the
furries.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There was 1 year. I think it was 2 years ago where there was a fire and all the furries are
no way.
The furries were on fire.
No, they weren't on fire, but they had to evacuate the hotel.
Where was I last? I was somewhere 2 weeks ago. And they were having a pug convention, and everyone had like these pugs. And then there were those mental people. Oh God, and you're gonna get letters. Who had their dogs in like baby strollers, when they have their dog and they're like purposely like want you to say something like "oh cute dog," which I'll never do.
They don't deserve.
You know, and they walk around with their dog and they're just like, "Please say something about my dog and how cute." And they were so, ugh, I hate everyone.
Well, fortunately, it's a little bit warmer. We've had some terrible weather.
Yes, thank you. And then, of course,
it's going to get colder again.
There's going to be one night where it's freezing cold.
I believe we've been told.
I think it's going to be cold this week, right?
It's going to be chilly. Cold is a...
It was like winter coat weather the other day in New York.
Oh, we had a snowstorm a week and a half ago or something.
But there's no, you know, there's no climate change.
No, everything's fine. Everything is as it should be, Judy. Mm-hmm. Pay no attention to the problems of the world. We had on Representative Sarah Feigenholz on earlier to talk about, you know, in the state of Illinois, when President Trump won, there was a lot.
Don't call him President Trump.
got that right.
There was a lot of effort put behind making sure that the state of Illinois did not revert back to the days before Roe v. Wade. So we had her on to talk about the legislation that has passed in Georgia and Alabama. And man, this text screen, it's fun. It's amazing to me that people hear what they want to hear. We all get the same information, it seems, right? Like, we're all
different places.
Well, it depends on where. But this conversation here, like what Representative Feigenholz was talking about, the words that came out of my mouth.
That's a bad name. All right.
Feigenholz?
Feigenholz.
You can get away with saying that.
Yes, yeah, Feigenholz.
You would love Rep.
I'm going to get the Feigenholz over rice, not the pasta. Yeah, go ahead.
Some chopped liver, yeah.
Well, it's just amazing.
I'm
still trying to get through the text that I got from listeners who apparently had no interest in what she was actually saying. But
why?
Because they wanted to, you know, finally, you know, the state of Illinois will stop being a baby-killing state. And
oh, my God, I can't. If you don't believe in abortion, don't have one. Okay.
It's not enough, Judy. Nobody else can have them either.
But it's like a, oh my God.
I had a friend who wrote a joke in the 90s, and she's like, do you think I could ever do this joke? And I was like, I don't know if you'd ever do that. And she doesn't do comedy anymore. She was from Philadelphia. She goes, right, this is another friend of mine. Her name was Bridget. She goes, right to lifers piss me off so much they make me want to have a baby just so I can have an abortion. They make me want to get pregnant. I can't even remember it. They make me want to get pregnant just so I can have an abortion.
Right.
I was like, that's a rough one.
Yeah, and then they're all...
That's a rough one. And I was like, yikes.
That Johnny Carson did that joke. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Hey, did you know Beth Sherman?
Oh, yeah. I love Beth.
Yeah, I worked
with her.
Oh, man.
She's the best.
Yeah, she had a joke. She said she was driving down a highway in Texas, and she saw a billboard that said, abortion kills or your money back.
No
oh
way.
My God.
That's so funny.
There's a billboard in Wisconsin that has a toll that tells you how many babies have been, you know, aborted. It's like a tally. Yeah. Well, that's what they, but they have
they're
it
not
in Wisconsin.
Babies, A. And B, you know what? The fact that a kid can't go to school without feel like they have to do drills because they don't know who's going to come in with, you know, they are so hypocritical. Yeah. I can't, no. Do not tell me what to do with my body. Okay?
More after this on 720.
Bye now.
I really should get this show started again, but I'm I've succumbed to a text. Vivian, do you see the text that corrects my English? did you see that one? I'm working on it right now. But I should probably address my guests and introduce them to the audience. In studio with me, writing sidecar, is Dr. Charles Turk. Do you still have CNCME.org?
Yeah, sure do. But right now I'm on UrbanDictionary.com.
Okay, well, we're working on this grammar right now. Okay,
that's what I'm talking about.
We're going to address this. Yeah. I almost have to. Comedian Mona Abermishan joined us in studio, and she's been traveling all over the world lately.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging out. And Judy Gold in studio as well. She's at the Zanies on Wells now through, right now, not right now, but through Sunday night. You can go to zanies.com for ticket information and show times. Comedian Dwayne Kennedy is going to be at the Greenhouse Theater with me tomorrow night with Rocky Laporte for the Child Serve fundraiser. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey.
I'll pick you up if you want to ride. Comedian Paul Farber, the host of Singles Only. Mona, I didn't mean to but the podcast Singles Only. There's a lot of people. It's a lot of people in the studio. This is a lot of
people.
Mona, you have a show every week at the Comedy Bar.
8 to 9.
The Riff.
Mondays.
Which I promised that I would do.
Okay.
All right. Before I get to my grammar, I was in Los Angeles. I went up at the Comedy Lab, and I was telling Charles a little bit about this earlier. I went to the Comedy Lab, and I told Paul this. I was surprised at how many comics quickly got mad at the audience and started going after them because they didn't get the reaction that they thought. I'm not used to it anymore, where comic after comic after comic was like, well, you guys
showcase
suck.
Showcase style, yeah.
But it wasn't a showcase. I mean, these were all pretty established
where
comics.
Where was this?
At the Comedy Lab at the Improv in Los Angeles. My mom was making fun of the comics on the way home. Oh my God, the guy with the air conditioning. Jess, we can hear it because you're not getting any laughs. I got it.
It was a Saturday show too, right?
It was a Saturday show. Yeah, it was
packed.
It was a smaller crowd, but should that make a difference as to how mad you get at the audience?
No.
Right?
No.
They're the ones that showed up.
I like small crowds.
Me too. Fewer of them to hate me.
And if they paid to come there, come on.
Yeah, it was.
If it's a bunch of open micers, yeah, go for it.
But we were talking earlier, Mona, about how audience members feel very emboldened to come up to us and tell us what they think of us or yell at us during the show.
They haven't performed in London then.
Oh, what happens in London?
In the UK, they're ready to go. They're ready for engagement. The audience is smart enough, and it's almost like it's part of UK culture to be the heckler. All of them do.
Oh, no.
So you have to be good at, like, you know, taming tigers.
Do you still, Judy, do you still have people come up to you after a show and say, oh, I helped you out by heckling? That's always...
Oh, no. I mean, I really put them in their place. But I remember those days when they'd be like, oh, I was just trying to help out.
I once had someone say, I'm going to hell.
You're going to hell? You specifically are going to hell for your material?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ugh,
they
these
said
people.
It, they told you after the show or during the show?
After the show, he ran up. He made a really intentional effort to talk to me about a joke that I did about the Prophet Muhammad and his wife. And it's an awesome joke. It's so empowering.
Oh, I can't
so
take
great.
This. I cannot take this censorship. And what about the comic in Florida who made a joke?
Ahmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a joke. They called the police 911.
Yeah, someone called 911 on him.
On Ahmed.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write about that one.
Yeah.
He said, it only takes one of us or something like that.
To do a joke. The rest of the line, he has a joke that he says, are there any Middle Easterners in the audience? And then a couple people laugh. He goes, oh, it only takes one of us to. And then everyone just laughs. He goes, to tell a joke on stage. And then someone called 911 because they felt uncomfortable. There was a...
This is ridiculous.
What is happening?
They're taking everything away from, I'm telling you, this is The Handmaid's Tale. This is 1984. This is all the stuff that was fiction that we thought could never happen here is happening. I'm telling you.
I had
Florida.
Some people walk out in St. Charles. This was maybe a year or so ago. I was talking about Trump, you know.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah. And people... It was a group. I couldn't see it from the stage, but this is what they told them because it was dark. I couldn't see. But people demanded their money back, walked out, and they said crying out in the lobby. And a couple of women gave me the Nazi salute.
What?
And then on the way out.
No.
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You know what's amazing that I find? We made fun of every president. Every single president. And, you know, and no one cared. Like George W. Bush, Clinton was a gold mine,
right.
Reagan, like
Don Rickles would make fun of a president and a mobster all on the same stage.
It was ridiculous. Right.
Yeah. Right. And he died old and happy.
And now, like, because he has no sense of humor, and it's like a cult.
Right.
It's like a cult.
It is a cult.
It is so beyond, you know, you really realize how much power a president has, even when they're stupid and they lie all the time.
Right.
That, you know, I can't take it anymore. You know, the Smothers Brothers, which was, you know, they were basically fired. But, you know, they used to make fun of
Nixon.
LBJ. No, oh, LBJ. Okay. All the time. Yeah. All the time. And his daughters were big fans of the show. And he, like, complained once, LBJ, can you, like, just tone it down? And so, and then after the show went off the air, LBJ wrote them a letter saying, you know, I really did enjoy your show, and being the subject of, you know, satirical comedy, I mean, it's part of the job, and I was honored to, you know, can you even imagine this idiot? Like, he can't even spell on Twitter. Like, he's so dumb. Like, the president should be smarter than my doorman, you know? I don't even have a doorman, so I don't even know why I said that. But it's so, I can't believe the standards. And now comics are being held to a higher standard than...
Well, our friend Don says progressives are the ultimate authoritarians.
Okay, Don.
Okay, Don.
I mean, the left is getting a little too sensitive with, you can't say this in a safe space.
Comedians are the modern-day philosophers. So we're merely just a mirror of everything that's going on. And the angrier the audience gets, the more of a mirror we really are. So,
well, we're the last truth tellers.
Yeah.
And people don't like it.
Right. They don't. They want to hear lies. The progressives. Please. The guy lies. And he's dumb. And he doesn't read a book. And he just, and he never paid his taxes. Like, why do I, if he doesn't have to pay taxes, why do I have to pay taxes?
Yeah. Well, remember, that was part of the debates when he said, well, I'm smart enough to not have to pay all my taxes.
Right, and they're all like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, look, like, you don't understand business if you're not trying to evade taxes. It was a game to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had bone spurs, so he didn't
right,
have a lot of
He really supported the military, because that's where our tax dollars go. So he's a big supporter of the military with his bone spurs. Ugh.
I've sent you and our listeners. Oh, by the way, before we go to the break, so I do need to find out, Charles, your investigation into my improper use of a word. I've been corrected by a listener. By the way, Steve Cochran texted me back. Just to let everybody know, to catch everyone up, when I came in, there were a lot of crumbs surrounding the chair in this area. And there have been times when I've been listening to other shows in the morning where they go off and they blame me for a mess that has been created overnight, as though we're like throwing a party in here or something. So I took a picture of the dirt and mess over here, and I said, there's all this stuff on the ground, and I sent it to Steve Cochran, and he just messaged me back, and he said, let's just say it's Justin, who's the show before mine. But a listener had a bone to pick with me, and they say, this is Ernie, says, if you're in the building, the crumbs are on the floor, the ground is not outside. The ground is outside. You are not outside. That is the correct English. Also, you would be teaching others as you speak. Thanks, Ernie. Well, first of all...
Oh, my God. Ernie, give it a... Like, what? Like, don't you have a hobby? Like, seriously. All these people think that they now have a platform to say whatever they want, you know?
Well, and I just told the audience that during a conference call, there was serious consideration to get rid of the text screen. So, Ernie, you are, you're sort of putting yourself in the middle of a conversation that would otherwise go flowingly with our friend Don, who says that progressives are all authoritarians.
Sorry.
That's all right. But, Charles, have you found the synonym of ground?
Well, I'll tell you what. I tried, but do you know how boring it is to look up the word ground? You know?
Well, floor. In my research, I found floor to be a synonym of ground.
Ground floor. You say you're on the ground floor. It's like the same...
Ground.
Then that's a double...
But it's a floor that's on the ground, but that's not outside.
Maybe Ernie can give us Bert's direct line, and we can ask Bert, since this seems like a Sesame Street conversation.
I know. I was just thinking.
Oh, here's an 815 sending us a very friendly message saying, just keep talking like you are, and he'll be there another 4 years being stupid and not reading his books, you morons. More after this on 720 WGN.
So our tech screen is lighting up a little bit with some of our listeners. Here's my question to a lot of Trump supporters that I've been trying to get an answer. I know Paul and I have a segment every once in a while called Trump Calls.
Yeah, we haven't done it in a while.
We haven't done Trump Calls in a while.
Last two times we did it, nobody called it.
Nobody called, but I feel like Donald wants to call. 312-981-7200. The question I've been asking a lot of Trump supporters is this everything you wanted? Because a lot of people will say, okay, well, I'm pro-choice, but I really like his policy. You know, our economy is doing better. We have more jobs. I love what he's doing internationally. This is exactly what I wanted. But there are some people who would say along the way, well, I don't necessarily like the way he talks, or I don't like, you know, I'm not crazy about, you know, when he said that there were people on
separating
good people on both
families,
sides.
Yeah.
What, right. Yeah. Hi. Kids being separate.
But for some people, Judy, it's worth it. Like all of that.
Oh, it's worth it?
His policy is worth it.
Admit that if he wasn't in office, there would have been no Charlottesville. You know, he has given them a platform and okay to go. It's just, I just cannot believe. Anyone else would have been fired from their job if they behaved. He paid off a porn star. He said so many derogatory things about women. He calls people names. He's disgusting. He's in cahoots with an enemy. Like he has phone calls with someone who hates, he's a traitor. Like he's not, I'm sorry, but character does matter when you're the president of the United States. You're representing us and you're okay with his behavior. Would you be okay with your son talking like that?
I'll tell you what, they're okay with it as long as it conforms to their, you know, to their political orientation.
Right. But before, oh, and you're so religious, you're so pious, but it's like he's unfaithful. The wife is pregnant. I mean, and I'm from New York, so it's even worse for me because we knew about him for so long, you know, that he's known as someone who, he doesn't pay his employees.
Contractors.
Yeah.
So for those who think that people are overreacting when it comes to Donald Trump, then tell me it's worth it. It's worth it that everything he does, everything that Judy
does. He thinks he's above the law. I mean, he's allowed to do whatever.
He's a gangster.
Right. Yeah, he is a gangster. We all know that. Yeah. We all know that. I mean, even Bloomberg has said he is known to be just the worst. He's a bad person. He is not, there's not one empathetic bone. He cares about himself more than he cares. He does not care about the United States of America at all. At all. He doesn't. He cares about himself and building, you know, he's just ugh.
Mona, don't you wish she would share her thoughts?
You know what I love about her? She's all feisty. She's all New York. And we're here in Chicago. We're like, yeah.
Sorry.
And you got a black and you got an Iranian. We're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at this.
And
it's
a Jew.
UN right
about a Jew.
We're like,
but
yeah.
This earth. This earth, what he's doing
You're
to this
British
earth.
Irish,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I have kids. I don't want them, like, not being able to go outside for more than, like, 3 minutes. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, now the texts are coming.
Oh, yeah. Here's my favorite one.
I'm going to go have to turn the screen around. Yes,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but...
I want to give you a place to vent.
You know, it's not like I don't like Republican. It's not even about... you know, take the politics out of it. He is a horrible person. He has no integrity. He lies. He cheats on his wife. He cheats on people who work for him. He's obvious racist. He calls women the most disgusting, stands there in front, you know, with naked teenagers, calling them, you know, you're a 10, you're a 4, you're... this is not someone who should be...
He's a sociopath.
Yeah,
well,
he is.
What's mind-boggling is that, you know, people will say, oh, stop watching CNN. But all the things that Judy just said, you may not like the way it's delivered, or you may think that, you know, we're deranged or something. But what has she said that is inaccurate? He had an affair. He paid off a porn star.
That's true.
There were girls who were in those dressing rooms at the pageants who said he did all those things, put his fingers in their mouths. All those things
Whoa,
are true.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
To check their teeth. Oh, no, it's a thing. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right, now I'm done with him.
So I...
That's where I draw the line.
He doesn't... You know, his taxes. Yeah. Every president has shown their taxes.
Right. See, now here...
His and the New York State is going to get him because they even had to take every business he's had has failed. Trump Steaks, yeah. Trump, you know,
yes.
All his clothes made in China. He's a liar. He doesn't care about you. And I see. I don't know.
So here,
casinos. Like I said, how do you lose money at running a casino? How does that happen?
And here, and I told you that when we started this, people would say that all of that stuff doesn't matter because they like his policies.
Right. But if Obama behaved like that, they would be on his case. Right. Like,
because they don't like his policies.
Right. They didn't like his policies because someone just wrote, Obama truly cared about America. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. It's funny. People keep on bringing up Bill Clinton on this line.
Right.
So the rules when we had Trump calls and Patty were that you would have to defend whatever action he did today or whatever. And you could not mention Obama. You couldn't mention Hillary.
Right.
You had to just argue the position.
And at the time, remember what
we would get calls and actually someone won. Like,
They would win. I would give away prizes. For people who could state their case,
argue, and there are things
just state their case.
There are things that are defensible that two people can reasonably disagree on. The taxes thing, look, it isn't required to produce your taxes, and if you want it to be required, they should make it a law.
They're going to have to make that a law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is an argument to be made that he's just, he's not above the law in that situation because it's not a law.
Right.
But he knows he doesn't have to do it, so he's, he's just kind of...
He has no respect for tradition,
sense of ethics.
Right. There's no sense of ethics. The fact, I don't care, you can say hate me and say everything I'm saying is wrong. The fact that a child has to go to school and learn how to hide in a closet, that should be the safest place for that child to be.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, but that is disgusting. It is disgusting that children go to school and parents are worried whether they're going to see them again. That is disgusting and should not be a part of this country. Sorry.
What I've said every single time, and I ask this, and people won't say it. Say it on the text screen. Say everything that Judy just said is true. I don't care. I like his policies. From the 773, I'm a gay man, and I support 80% to 90% of what this president does, and I'll vote for him again.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Good.
You should
and transgender people. Yeah. Transgender people should. He
won't let them in the military.
He won't let them serve. First of all, I'm not brave enough to serve in the military. If someone is willing to give up their life for my freedom, when this guy, five times with bone spurs, five times.
Here's one, 773. Patty, your guest is completely correct about Trump, but the Republican Senate enables him, and they are traitors.
Yes, absolutely.
They are traitors to the U.S. and citizens of the United States.
It's true. It's like
Lindsey Graham has lost his problem.
Yes, and it's like we know who he is, but the fact that you enable this behavior...
Right.
You enable
because they're getting everything they want on the platform. They've got the Supreme Court that they wanted. The Republicans
wanted. It's going to backfire. I'm telling you.
They got the taxes. They got the tax cuts they wanted.
Yep.
So they don't care about all this stuff.
Exactly.
The fringe issues of race relations, of climate
gender
change,
issues. Right.
Of health care.
Of dignity and human rights.
Humanity.
And a woman's and
sure.
a women having control over their bodies. Things that were already decided.
By the way, the 312 says Trump bankrupted two casinos. The only person who has ever bankrupted any casino in American history. Having a casino in America is almost like the government giving you or your own printing press to make money.
Right.
Well, it's because Biff is president.
You have. Right. I really am enjoying the screen because this is pretty well divided between people who agree and disagree with everything that's happening right now.
Oh, here's a great comment. Yeah. There wouldn't have been a Charlottesville if Antifa hadn't shown up.
Oh, right. Okay. That's exactly right.
All right.
That's
people,
very true.
Both sides.
Right.
Yep.
We, Judy, I know you have to run. You have media.
I'm sure
in the morning.
All the listeners are probably thrilled.
I'm not saying.
No, somebody said Judy Gold for president.
Yes.
Oh, Judy I have Gold. Too many curse
Catch
words.
Catch her at Zanies all week.
Yeah. She'll be at Zanies on Wells through Sunday. Go to zanies.com. You can also call the box office at 312-337-4027. Judy, it was so great to have you. I need to take a picture before you go.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're one of the reasons that I get to stand on stage and hold a microphone.
Oh.
You know you are. You are. Mm. Yeah. I was telling my husband, like, you've been at that glass ceiling with a chisel and a hammer for decades.
Forever.
And I was like, maybe it's more like mining. Maybe it's not a glass ceiling anymore. Maybe we're in a tunnel and we just keep chipping away at it and eventually we'll find something. But thank you for wearing the hard hat and busting through a lot of those
things.
Thank
you. I love that. I wore the hard hat.
She wore the hard hat for us. Thank you. I can't.
No, I'm sorry if I got too It's just, it makes me so sad. Like, most of it is sadness that, you know, especially as a gay person who I fought my entire adult life for, you know, dignity, equal rights, and to see people's rights, families being, like, I cannot believe it's sad. And it's also so mean and mean-spirited.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the part that people are having a tough time hearing.
Yeah.
I don't get the idea of shutting down the listening. I get that people, you know, disagree and maybe they don't like the way something is delivered. But I think what you just said is important, is
right.
that you're sad about it and you want to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you're passionate about it. And
right.
I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts. Have a great night,
thank
Judy.
You. Oh, thank you all.
I hope I get to see you this weekend.
And that was my act, by the way.
We'll take a quick break and then the news. Judy Golodzany's on Wells, Dwayne Kennedy tomorrow at the Greenhouse Theater for the Child Surf fundraiser, and Paul Farver, the host of Singles Only and Everyone's a Lawyer, Sunday night.
May 26th is the next one.
Excellent. Have a great night, you guys. More after this on 720 WGN. Mona, I'm not letting you go anywhere. The Patty Vasquez Show. I'm kind of torn over taking this call right now, Vivian, because it's security down at the front desk. So I'm going to introduce, hold on a second. Dr. Charles J. Turk, Mona Abermishan, and Dwayne Kennedy in studio. I'm going to take this call from security. You guys talking about, hello, this is the Patty Vasquez Show. Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Let me just do this. I got to put you on speakerphone. I'm sorry. Someone dropped off an envelope for me?
Can I see that envelope? Hold on one second.
I have an envelope, but in the middle of the...
dropped off from Starbeat Intermedia, and it's for Karen Moss at WGN Radio.
Someone just dropped off a package tonight?
It's an envelope, and it's for Karen Moss, Marlene Wells,
but did it come in tonight?
Yes, yeah. This must have been like one of those services that...
All right, I'll send someone down to get it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Send somebody expendable.
I've never gotten a call from security while I was on the air, so I was like, my husband hates this about me. I can't just let a phone ring. I have to answer it no matter what. Do you do that, Mona?
Yeah, well, because we're old school. Because you never know, man. But that was before we.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
We're old, like, oh man, you never know. It might be so and so.
I've never been called while I was on the air, but when security calls, like,
hold on, this could be another radio show. That
oh God,
very meta. Oh yeah.
Hold on, this could be an even greater opportunity
at 1:40, at 12:40 in the morning.
Or it might go to voicemail. I have to actually check it.
What security calls? Didn't you answer a call that goes directly to your phone when it's security?
Were they saying that the envelope was for somebody else?
Yes.
So why are you even calling me, man?
What is today?
Today's like opposite day. What is today?
I was like, why is nobody else addressing this? Like, that's the key part.
I was thinking that, Charles.
What is going on today?
Yeah, why am I the go-to call when an envelope arrives at security?
I don't know. Maybe because you're on the air.
And you answered it.
No,
you're a comedian. You answered it.
I know.
You didn't answer it. We could have talked about croissants. Okay?
I've gotten calls in the middle of the day from security. And
at home?
Where were you? That was what I was saying.
Why are you giving people your real number, Patty?
Hey, you just at the crib?
I don't know. Bring it up. I don't know. I'm not here.
Hey, Patty, I don't mean to call you on your home number, but listen, you got a package here. Actually, it's not yours. It's some cat making a bet. And he's laying Jacksonville in the points.
Bring it up. So okay, high, so by low, more yen. Yeah. I don't know.
Is it anytime? Any envelope?
I could show you how many times the number from security has called me.
I think security has a crush on you. I think this is all made up.
There you go, Mona.
I should show you. Wait, I can look at my call history. Can I call details? I'll look at the history. But yeah, I get a lot of calls from. I should probably just tell them to lose my number.
Give mine. I want to see how this goes. I give my number to anybody. Some of the weirdest stuff I've experienced as a comedian is excellent. One guy, it was the winter. My toes were out because I just got my toes done. It was yucky. He's like, you got nice feet. And I'm like, I'm at a gas station. The slush. He's like, can I call you and see your feet? I was like, yes, I want to get, I want your number. I want, yes, I will. I want to know the crazy that's on the other side of this number. Yes.
Never engage those people, Mona. Don't make eye contact. Look away. Do you engage when someone catcalls?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's funny. And then what? What's going to happen? Yeah, let's go. We're gonna, mommy and daddy met how? Oh, daddy was a construction worker and mommy's walking down the street. That's how we met. No, I love it. What do you got?
What do you, yeah, what, how do they react when you confront or sort of engage?
Like, oh, I'm just, I don't, you know, it's fine. I just want, you know, my favorite, this is my favorite pickup line. This is how you know the red line has gotten very interesting here in Chicago. My favorite pickup line was by a young white kid on the train. And he's like, hey. And he's, I'm like, hey, he's like, I'm 15, but you know what?
Oh,
I'm like, uh-huh. He's like, are those cookies? And of course, I'm like, yeah, I got Famous Amos cookies. Of course, he's like, yo, shorty with them baked goods.
What?
He had game. I'm telling you, the red line's getting fun. You should ride the train. Shorty with them baked goods.
It is. Are you guys, Dwayne, Charles, have you ever been like hanging out with guys who have to catcall women who feel compelled to say whatever they're thinking about a woman's body?
Security?
No, I hang out at book clubs and you know, poetry readings. And I remember one time we were discussing Chaucer. And no, Patty. I don't know which
Ernie,
is
good. Ernie, what is your opinion, Ernie?
Yeah, Ernie, somewhere. Tell us from the ground floor what your thoughts are.
He's really got a good pickup line, yo. You look good from the ground up.
I cannot get over how obsessed I am with these crumbs that are on the ground over here. And I
think it's because you were blamed for it.
I've been blamed for messes, and never. I haven't heard any sort of backlash from this studio, our new studios. But when we were at the Tribune Tower, I'd be up at 6 a.m. hearing them complain about me. One night we had some guests that had come in from Lollapalooza, and I didn't see that they had tracked mud in all the way across the studio, and so that was on my watch. I just didn't know it had happened, but now I know that this is here, and I don't have a vacuum cleaner, and it's all ground into the carpeting, and I'm trapped. I'm trapped by this obsession.
It'd be awesome if, like, the next segment, you hear the vacuum in the background because I'm vacuuming now.
Yeah, do we know where there's a vacuum somewhere? Although I've already alerted the next show that's going to be in the studio.
They know it's not. It wasn't you.
It wasn't my fault.
No.
It ain't my fault.
Dude, I didn't do it. Charles, how do folks find out about Sanchia CME, continuing education company?
As it turns out, we have a URL on something called the internet, and it conforms exactly to our company name, although most people don't know how to spell it. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Uh-huh. I'm going to spell it for just about everybody who's listening, maybe even some people who aren't. It's SCIENTIACME.org. That's it.
Excellent.
Just come to our website, and if you're a healthcare professional, you can get all of the continuing education that you need right there.
Charles is a pharmacist. Sanchia CME. He's a pharmacist by trade.
Is he?
And does a continuing medical education.
Oh, fancy!
Yeah. They have to sell certified and stuff.
I know a lot of pharmacists in my neighborhood.
I actually do have a question about that, but I don't know this whole prohibition era that's going on with cannabis, are you including all of that and all the research that's going on?
What is going to happen with pharmacies?
Oh, with pharmacies?
It's going to be under...
Honestly, I haven't seen a ton. I've seen, occasionally there's a job posting for a cannabis pharmacist. Healthcare professionals, there are certificate programs so you can specialize in them. I know a guy who's a director of pharmacy at some medical cannabis clinics, but I haven't really seen the two mix very much.
Yeah, a lot of the folks that are doing it, there's a guy by the name of Dr. Rubin. He's a Chicagoan. A lot of these cats are Chicago cats that are outside of Chicago, like in Vegas and LA, that are working with some. I just happen to know a friend who's in the industry, and you're seeing the medical side in terms of surgery and post surgery and all that other stuff. And I just was wondering what was going on, because then one of the top companies that is producing the cannabis is here in Chicago, Green Thumbs Industry. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering how that's impacting your world.
I mean, no, so far I haven't seen a whole lot. I mean, I think that some chains are getting on board with selling pure CBD products.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're talking about any kind of THC content, the psychoactive component, you know, it seems to be exclusively the province of, you know, of dispensaries, you know, which, again, so far I haven't seen a whole lot of pharmacy involvement directly there.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it is weird. When my I have a friend who goes to a dispensary, and she was telling me about like how sort of sterile it is. Oh. It's like this very, you know, she walks in and you know, you have like you have to go through different checkpoints mm-hmm. in the dispensary itself. Like
I got the card just because I'm a comedian. I want to see what's going on, and it feels like you're buying an expensive diamond.
Well, how did you get it? Was it a medical?
Yeah. I have fibromyalgia. And because I wanted to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I went to the dispensary, and the dispensary I went to on North Avenue. Why on North Avenue? Because it's not far from Cabrini Green. And so, you know, if you know Chicago history, you know what Cabrini Green was and why it was there. So going in now, it feels like I'm Marty McFly's granddaughter, you know? And really, I'm going in there, and you have to get this checkpoint. It feels like you're going into like a very expensive diamond boutique where you sit, and it's like all this just stuff and just waters and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're let in a special place. And then everything's in these little glasses. It feels like just a jewelry store.
I see pictures. I mean, a lot of these look like really high end. They might sell tofu. Also, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like bamboo
and yoga classes.
Like you were saying, you know, like water flowing and
what's going to happen to all the neighborhood? What's going to happen to all the neighborhood pharmacists?
I don't know.
They're gonna be out of work.
You know, and that was a question talking to the representative. Is that forget how it's going. How are people going to be able to make money from
absolutely.
This?
Right.
Who's
absolutely.
Going to have the opportunity to make the
absolutely.
Money?
Absolutely. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the issue. That's what I want to know about. Because like you said, people being cut out and whatever those submission fees are to find out if you even qualify for a license
absolutely.
That are non-refundable.
Yep.
Here's $50,000 to see if I can qualify. And, oh, I'm sorry, I guess you didn't.
Yeah.
But thanks for the 50 stacks.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there's going to be the street market value. I mean, people right now are stealing deodorant from Walgreens and selling it on the streets. I mean, come on.
Oh, there's not going to be any dollar store cannabis, is there?
I don't know.
Let's take a quick break after this. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. 312-981-7200. And I'm so glad to see that Trucker Rich is first in the on the on deck. 312-981-7200. Tell me what's making you smile tonight, because I can see what made some of you angry. More in a moment. 720.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good. No matter what happens all day long, whether we agree or disagree on some of the issues, or maybe someone cut you off in traffic, or you got a bill that was unexpected, there's always something you can be grateful for, something that can make you smile. And we're so happy to hear from Trucker Rich. Always great to hear from Trucker Rich. What do you want to tell us, Trucker Rich?
Well, I got two things, Patty. One small one that'll probably jinx me, but it's been 24 hours since I had to turn on my windshield wipers.
Yay, Trucker Rich! That is a great something good. We love that.
And, you know, you've always been my co-pilot. I've listened to you since you came on WGN full-time.
Yeah?
But tonight was special. It was just like a bunch of friends sitting around on a deck with either an adult beverage or a pop or a cup of coffee, just BSing and laughing and having a good time.
Oh, and that's, you know, I was just telling Dwayne and Mona and Charles that I've been listening to some interviews with Greg Giraldo, and that's what made me think about it. There was an interview where it was Patrice O'Neill and Greg and Chris Rock and Jimmy Norton, and I thought, I was looking forward to tonight. Mona asked if she'd come in. I told her it was going to be kind of crowded, but that was exactly kind of what I wasn't aspiring to, but it reminded me like how much fun I have hanging out with my friends and just having a great conversation. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, Trucker Rich.
Yeah.
Have a great night. Be safe.
Honk,
honk. And I don't know where he went. I think we lost him. Trucker Rich actually brings up an interesting point. I haven't had a chance to mention this, but let me find out what Catherine's, and I'll tell you my something good. Dovetailing off what Trucker Rich said. But first, we want to talk to Catherine from the 301. Hi, Catherine. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually driving from Chicago, and if I lose you, I'm in the country.
Okay.
I'm driving I'm driving up to Elkhart, Wisconsin, but I was thinking how much I would love to have had laughs with you and your group when I actually did a talk show years ago on WGN, and I just didn't have as much fun as you're having.
Oh,
and I've never listened to you before, and I turned you on tonight, and I thought, God, they're really having a good time. And, yeah, I was on GN in the 80s, and it was a failed effort. I tried my best, but we had a show from 7 to 9 p.m., and it was kind of weird, and it didn't work. I was paired with somebody, and we didn't really enjoy one another. So I just wanted to tell you, this is what I would have hoped for. Just having a lot of laughs and having a good time on GN.
Catherine, what's your name? What's your last name?
Well,
you don't have to tell me. I just love hearing right. from you. I get where you're coming from too, and I'm so glad. I'm so sorry to hear that it didn't work out then. And this has been a boys' club for a long time. We both know that too.
Well, it was when I arrived. In fact, I think I was the first woman outside of a really wonderful woman named Mary. I can't think of what her last name was, but we were the only women who were on the air at WGN. You're the only women to have a talk show, and I was paired with a man, and it was a strange arrangement, but I loved my boss at the time, Dan Fabian. He was a fabulous guy, and it was just an odd situation, but I was so excited to be picked to be on GN. It was like, are you kidding? I was a young woman, young mother, had a little baby boy, and my husband was traveling all the time, so it was kind of hard for me to keep up this bizarre, stressful show, but it worked for like a year and a half, and then it didn't work. But anyway,
what did you?
It should have been, pardon me?
No, what were you going to say? It should have been what?
It should have been what you are.
Oh.
It should have been how much fun you guys are having, and I probably would have stayed there for a million years, and that was kind of my hope, but anyway.
Well, Catherine,
I'm sure anybody,
the only reason I get to do what I do is because someone like you helped break that door open in the 80s, and I'm sorry it didn't last longer, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Well, you're very kind. I am still on the radio in Chicago at a different radio station now, but I'm a news anchor. I'm not a talk show host anymore. I'm a fill-in news anchor, which is great, but back in the day when I was a young woman really striving to do what you're doing, it could have been so much fun, and I really am honored that I was even on the air at WGN. It really was. It was a great part of my history, and it was just different. So congratulations on having so much fun.
Oh, I appreciate that. And that's because of everyone, again, partly because of you and obviously because of the audience as well. And it is an honor to be here. And Catherine, it's great. Can we hear from you again? I hope you'll call again soon.
Oh, well, I will call you again. Sure.
I would love that.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Of course. Have a great night, Catherine. Be safe.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Let me take before I take this break, I just want to mention something while Catherine's still with us. This is actually my 5-year anniversary this month.
Wow.
Which means what? What does it mean?
Party.
I get 5 extra days of vacation. More after this on 720 WGN. Ernie's back at it again. Our grammar, he's giving me a test. Okay, you're so educated. Tell me what the two words fake counterfeit in the bottom sentence mean. Something real or not. I just prefer language which is unambiguous. Had no idea something so simple would cause such consternation within your group. I don't know if consternation amidst the laughing was necessarily what we were feeling.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't
you might
feel
wanna
too concerned.
Look that one up. We were not concerned.
My mom taught me something when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Negative attention isn't good attention, Mona. So he might be the smartest guy, but he's not the smartest guy in the studio.
I don't know. Ernie thinks that we're befuddled or confused, but I think that we're just fine.
I'm just kerfuffled.
I have an envelope to go pick up, everybody.
Yes.
By the way, before we go, I didn't get a chance to get to everyone's something good, but I do want to make sure we get to... I graduated with my associates today, and that makes me happy. Congratulations to the 815. Look forward to having you back on the tech screen tomorrow night. Dwayne Kennedy, have a wonderful evening. I hope that you have no ticket on your here, Carl. Let's get the envelope and pay your meter.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
And I'll see you at the Greenhouse Theater tomorrow night. And where are you in town doing any other gigs this week?
No.
All right.
Shout out to security who has a crush on Patty. We're about to check him out later. What?
Mona Amermishan every week the Riff at the Comedy Bar.
Yes. Check out all the cool stuff I'm doing. We have kids comedy classes in Berwyn. They're awesome, amazing kids.
Mona is very talented.
So is Dwayne. Man, so is Charles. Everyone's talented on this show.
Game recognizes game, sir.
I don't mess around. Charles Turk, you can go to Scientia CME if you are looking to stay accredited as a medical professional. ScientiaCME.org. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Vivian.
You got it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mona. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Paragalo.